We celebrate today the feast of St. Anne, the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In Hebrew, her name is Hannah, meaning grace or a gift from God. This name is most suitable since it was she who was to receive the gift of bearing the handmaid who was to become the Virgin Mother of God. All of our information concerning the lives of Saints Joachim and Anne, the parents of the Blessed Virgin Mary, come to us from apocryphal writings. Apocryphal writings are early works which are not true books of the sacred scriptures. These writings give us historical information, but they were not written by the apostles. They are not inspired by the Holy Ghost, and so are not included by the church among the sacred books of the scriptures. The three separate apocryphal writings which tell of Saints Joachim and Anne were written around the year 150. In the early church, the veneration of St. Anne was first practiced in the Orient. Historical accounts of the life of St. Anne were read on the feasts of Our Lady in a number of the Oriental rites of the church. These rites were the Greeks, Syrians, Copts, and Arabians. Devotion to St. Anne only became popular in the West in the 13th century when her life was narrated by Jacobus de Voragine in his work, The Golden Legend. Since the 13th century, devotion to St. Anne spread rapidly throughout the West until she was venerated as among the most popular of the saints in the Latin Church. In order to appreciate the early historical accounts of Saints Joachim and Anne, let us read a narration from the principal apocryphal writing from which at least a few details of her life are known. In Nazareth, there lived a rich and pious couple, Joachim and Hannah. They were childless. When on a certain feast day, Joachim presented himself to offer sacrifice in the temple, he was repulsed by a certain Reuben under the pretext that men without offspring were unworthy to be admitted, whereupon Joachim bowed down with grief, did not return home, but went into the mountains to make his plaint with God in solitude. Also, Hannah, having learned the reason for the prolonged absence of her husband, cried to the Lord to take away from her the curse of sterility, promising to dedicate her child to the service of God. Their prayers were heard. An angel came to Hannah and said, "Hannah, the Lord has looked upon thy tears. Thou shalt conceive and give birth, and the fruit of thy womb shall be blessed by all the world." The angel made the same promise to Joachim, who returned to his wife. Hannah gave birth to a daughter, whom she called Miriam, Mary. The account tells how Saints Joachim and Anne had been childless, and how this was commonly looked upon as being a punishment from God. Saints Joachim and Anne, therefore, were subjected to public shame and prayed earnestly that this reproach might be taken away from them. This account, which narrates the details of the conception of Our Lady, seems to be the only accurate details which we may be certain of. Other information concerning St. Anne is not able to be made certain from the teachings of tradition. Only these details concerning the conception of Our Lady and her later being dedicated in the temple at the tender age of 3 are known both from the apocryphal writings and from tradition. Other details of the life of St. Anne are taken from the apocryphal writings alone. They are not also taught in tradition, and so cannot be known with certainty. These other details tell that St. Anne was the daughter of a nomad. She was born at Nazareth and educated, as her daughter, the Virgin Mary, was also to be, in the temple at Jerusalem. She was about 20 when she married St. Joachim, a Nazarene. It was 20 years later that she gave birth to the Virgin Mary, possibly at Nazareth. She was widowed shortly after the birth of Christ and lived to advanced years. There are several accounts which give details concerning the parents of St. Anne. From these accounts, we are able to know of the family relations of Christ and his cousins, St. John the Baptist, and the apostles, Saints James and John. St. John the Baptist was born of a sister of St. Anne. Another sister of St. Anne gave birth to Salome, the mother of the apostles, Saints James and John. The scriptures speak of Salome 3 times. She approached Christ, beseeching that her 2 sons would be privileged among the apostles to sit at the right and left hands of Christ in his kingdom. She is also present upon Calvary, remaining at the foot of the cross. Finally, she is one of the 3 holy women who go to the tomb of our divine Lord to anoint the body on Easter morning. Devotion to St. Anne can be traced in the East since the 4th century. The Emperor Justinian I had a church built and dedicated in her honor in Constantinople close to 550. This church was dedicated in 565. The Emperor Justinian II had another church built and dedicated in her honor in 705. Her body was brought from Palestine to Constantinople in 710. From Constantinople, portions were distributed as relics throughout the West. In 817, St. Theophanes composed the main portion of the Divine Office for her feast. Her feast had already long been celebrated, however, in the Divine Office, even as early as the middle of the 5th century. Her feast is celebrated in the East on July 25th. This date seems to commemorate either the dedication of her first church in Constantinople, or the arrival of her relics, again in Constantinople, in the year 710. Her feast is found in the oldest liturgical documents of the Greek Church, the calendar of Constantinople from the first half of the 8th century. The Greeks celebrate a feast on September 9th in honor of both Saints Joachim and Anne. Devotion to Saint Anne was not developed in the West until the 13th century. Before this time, the only area in the West where she was venerated was in southern France. An 8th century Byzantine painting of Saint Anne was also found in Rome, in a church dedicated to Our Lady, the Church of Santa Maria Antiqua. As we already reflected, devotion to Saint Anne was prompted in the West, particularly by the writing of the Golden Legend. This was in the 13th century, and since that time, her feast was observed on July 26th. We also find a feast in her honor observed at Douai in France. This feast is kept on September 16th, the anniversary when the church in Douai received a relic of St. Anne, a relic of her feet, in 1291. As a side note, we might call attention that the city of Douai is one of the two cities in France responsible for the Douai-Rheims English translation of the Bible. This translation was made in an effort to help in preserving the faith in England during the English Reformation. Devotion to St. Anne was introduced into England by Pope Urban VI on November 21st, 1378. From this time, the devotion spread throughout the Western Church. It was extended to the Universal Latin Church in 1584. Saint Anne is the patroness of Brittany. Here, her feast is kept on March 7th. Her miraculous picture is venerated in Notre Dame de Arras in the Diocese of Vannes. In Canada, she is the primary patron of the French Catholic province of Quebec. Her shrine in Montreal is well known, Saint Anne de Beaupré. She is the patroness of mothers who are in labor. In art, she is typically portrayed holding the Blessed Virgin in her lap, or with the child Mary standing beside her as she instructs her from a roll of parchment. She is also the patroness of minors, since her daughter, the Blessed Virgin Mary, is compared to silver. Christ is compared to gold. Saint Anne is also patroness of all in the married state and of those involved in the education of children. She had vowed to dedicate her child in the service of the temple. This vow she kept as she placed the Blessed Virgin in the temple school at the tender age of 3 years. But we must recognize that our Blessed Mother had already received her earliest formation in virtue from the devoted education and example of her parents. May the feast of St. Anne be a lesson and an encouragement to parents in our own times. For in our times, if children do not learn virtue from their parents, we may hardly expect that they will acquire virtue at all. Parents are the primary educators of their children. It is by this role that they give glory to God. They extend His honor upon earth and to future ages. And it is by educating and forming their children in virtue that parents will save their own souls. Both the church and the state are also concerned in the education and virtuous formation of its members and future leaders. While assisting parents in this role, neither the church nor the state may supplant the role of the parents. It is primarily your obligation, and therefore one of which you will render an accounting before God. St. Paul stresses this, since among those candidates for the priesthood who had previously been married, he would only admit those men whose children showed evidence of having been raised virtuously. How unfortunate that we see in the world so many parents caught up in the trends of our times. They desire earnestly to secure temporal welfare for their children. Profane learning, devoid of virtue, profitable positions, disregarding responsibility and ethics. They care for the body, but have lost sight of the needs of the soul. In his own time, the pagan philosopher Crates lamented this sad attitude. He wished that he could go climb to the highest pinnacle of the city and cry out in warning, "Citizens, what is it you think of? You employ all your time in heaping up riches to leave to your children, yet take no care to cultivate their souls with virtue, as if an estate were more precious than themselves." May the example and intercession of St. Anne encourage and strengthen our parents. You accept the financial burden of sending your children to a Catholic school, and certainly the devil will make use of every opportunity to discourage such a praiseworthy effort. For our children will be the future leaders of the church. They will be our priests and religious, the fathers and mothers of families who will carry on the work of re-establishing the Catholic Church, of which so many have been deprived. The role of parents is by no means an easy task today. How important, therefore, is devotion to St. Anne. In Hebrew, her name is Hannah, or Grace, as we fittingly pray in the communion verse for her Mass. Grace is poured abroad in thy lips. Therefore has God blessed thee forever and for all ages. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.